You know, I mean, when I'm 120, I'm still going to be chasing my wife around the ministry center. You know, this young woman that I married to, I mean, I'm still going to be chasing her around there, you know. Hey, girl, get in here. Let's have something to eat. Man, I bring her up there, you know, I'm chasing that girl around there just like I do all the rest of them around there. I'm young. Ain't we? Praise the Lord. Everybody knows I chase her around all over the place out there now, you know. I mean, goodness gracious alive. I get tickled at some of the young people out there, you know, Cheryl will come running by and I'll grab her around the waist and pull her up there and just kiss her right there in the middle in front of everybody. And some of them say, you know, I ain't never seen an older couple that show that kind of love. You know, my mother and dad didn't do that, they say. But I say, hey, but this is the kind of love that Jesus tells us to love. You know, an outward demonstration. Now, we'll have to say that, you know, that we need to show that outward love to the mate that we're married to. You know? Do y'all agree with that?
Amen.
I mean, if you're married, you should show that love and compassion because we're supposed to love as children of God. Is that right? Supposed to love, you know? Now, that's the way I look at it. And of course, I have had many of the young people out there tell us, you know, of course, I will have to say it's catching. You know, it's catching. You know, as Cheryl and I started doing that, a lot of the others, they do it too. You know, they'll kiss their mate or hug them up out there and say, ooh, this is the lovingest bunch I ever seen around here. You know, they roll around there kissing on each other or their mates, you know. And, you know, Dave does it to his lovely wife, you know, Ayesha. He's always holding her, you know, and telling beautiful woman how much I love you and all this stuff. I mean, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Sure. But we tell everybody out there we love them. Now, wisdom, when you get this wisdom, walk in the love, God commands us to love one another. He said it will multiply your days and add years to your life. So if you don't do this, what's it going to do? It's not going to multiply your days. It'll take away from your days, and it definitely will not add years to your life. So instead of having additional years put on your life, it can very easily take away years from your life, and you might die at a much younger age. And I don't know about you, but I love living. We have fun out there, don't we, Dave? We really do. If you become wise, this is the biggest word in the Bible, if you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. Now then, I want that wisdom because I want to be able to benefit, don't you? Absolutely. I mean, just like when you're working for a company, you want to be the best they've got. Because somebody said, why should I work hard for this company I work for? Nobody's looking. But they are, aren't they, James? When you work for the company you work for, the big boys that's over you, they do watch you, whether you know it or not. You know, and if you do a good job for them, they'll bend over backward to keep your job. You know, they really will, to a degree. You know, they will do all kinds of things for you. But if you're just one of them slouches, you know, that don't do a very good job. Oh, James, you know, we got to lay somebody else. Oh, well, you know, he don't work very hard anyway, you know. So let's just get rid of him first. That happens, isn't it, right?
It happens,
sure. So, I mean, if we want to benefit, we got said, if you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. You know, I remember way back yonder when I was working for a corporation, I mean, we only had about a dozen engineers all over the United States. And when we'd meet, the guys would talk to me, said, Thurman, you work too hard, you spend too many hours, everybody's always talking about how much you work, you know, you need to slack off. I said, no. I mean, this is just me. I can't change. You know, I'm working as unto the King and not unto you guys anyway. Well, one day I was sitting in a meeting with a VP, and he was my big, big, big boss. And he said, Thurman, I'm going to tell you something. He said, whenever your worksheet came to me every year for your raise, he said it had nothing but outstanding praise reports. He said, I was authorized there for about 6 years in a row to give a maximum of 10% pay increase. And he said, every year when I had that option, I gave you the maximum because you were such a hard worker. Now, who benefited from learning how to be wise? I did. I got the maximum increase in that company because I went overboard and gave them everything. But who was I really working for? For the Lord. That's exactly right. And I knew I was working for God. So since I was working for God, who do you think moved on His heart to give me the maximum increase? The Lord did. What if I'd have been a slouch? Oh, that thought would have said, you know, well, Thurman's a slouch. Give him 2% or 1, you know. Or maybe don't give him nothing this year. You know, he's lucky you're going to keep him. You know. But the Lord said, if you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. Don't ever laugh at wisdom. The spirit of wisdom, it is a living, thriving being. It is a spirit. Wisdom is a spirit. The Scripture teaches it's alive. It's just not something on a page. It's a live spiritual being. And you can have it. When you ask God for it, He will send that live being and it will possess you and come inside of you along with the Holy Spirit. He will speak to you and give you knowledge and understanding how to do things. How do you think those things come to your mind all of a sudden after you've asked God for wisdom and all of a sudden you're sitting there in your office and a thought comes to you? Go check out Joe down there and see what he's doing right now. And you go down there and they're trying to pour that concrete and they put no steel in it. Where do you think that come from? God, the spirit of wisdom will say, hey, you're paying them to do a good job and they're not doing it. And you just happen to think, well, maybe I ought to go check on them. No, that was the spirit of wisdom that was in you that took you down there. And therefore, you got them to put the steel in it before it got too far gone. And it made you look good. Somebody said, Keith, how do you know those things? Well, because I serve the living God. He's the one that talks through me. Boy, when we get that wisdom, it can change everything about us, can't it? I'm telling you. This book of Proverbs is an awesome book. We only got 18 verses. Let's go right quick, see if we can cover the rest of chapter 9. The woman named Folly is loud and bash. Uh-oh, we changed. Brash. The woman named Folly is loud and brash. She is ignorant and doesn't even know it. She sits in her doorway on the height overlooking the city. You know any women like this? Unfortunately, there's a lot of them. Next couple of verses. She calls out to men going by who are minding their own business. Come home with me, she urges. The simple. To those without good judgment, she says, stolen water is refreshing. Food eaten in secret tastes the best. You ever heard those kind of statements? I have. I used to wonder where those kind of things come from. Somebody said, you know, stolen watermelon always tastes better than one you had to buy. I wondered where they got that. They got it out of the Bible. Oh, goodness. But the men don't realize that her former guests, her former guests are where? In the grave. What did sin bring forth? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, how God puts this all over the book and how we miss it. But it's everywhere when you see it. That's what Dave and I was sitting there talking about the Word one day. He said, I do not understand how I read this book before. And now then, since you and I have got together and the Lord has opened my eyes to these things, as I've listened to you teach these things, he said, I've read this book myself to prove that you're right or wrong. And he said, in every chapter of every book, it's in here. He said, it's everywhere. Why do we not know these things? Because we don't spend the time with God. When you open the book and begin to study this, you'll see this. He'll reveal this to you. Yeah, you'll hear this. Instead of reading this like, well, stolen water is refreshing. Food eaten in secret tastes the best. But the men don't realize that her former guests are now in the grave. You know, if you just read it like a novel, you just read right over that. It doesn't mean anything. But all of a sudden you stop and you think, wow. She's talking about this woman that's inviting men into her house. I mean, how many men in the military, especially go to a foreign country, and these brash women, these prostitutes, invite these guys in. These guys go to town looking for these kind of women. And after they make a few of those little gestures, a lot of those men die. Some of those guys die on the battlefield because they went to bed with some prostitute, or if they hadn't have done that, they would have lived through the battle. But because they did what they were not supposed to, they're now in the grave. And if they died in that sin, now we can understand when Howard Pittman said that when he died in 1979, only 2.5% of the people that died in that period of time God gave him there for himself, only 2.5% out of the ones that died got to go to heaven. The rest of them went to hell. How would you like to see 2,000 people die and only 50 of them go to heaven? The other 1,950 go to hell. If that's still true today, and I feel sure it is, maybe the numbers are even a smaller margin today. Because, you know, you see people all the time. You talk to them in the grocery store, gas stations, convenience stores. Hi, you a Christian? Well, yeah. You go to church? No, I don't go to church. But you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. When's the last time you went to church? Oh, let's see. Where was it? Let's see. I must be 45. Maybe it was when I was 19, I guess. Somewhere 18 or 19, the last time I was in church. But that's okay. I'm okay. Well, I hadn't had time. I moved down here from New York, and I hadn't found a church yet. Well, how long ago did you move down here? Only 27 years ago. Hadn't found me a church yet. You think God's going to accept that answer, Lisa? No. He ain't going to. Yeah, you find you a church before you. That's what you did, wasn't it? In fact, Lisa moved down here because of this church. She was in Baltimore, and she heard me teach the Word of God, and it so inspired her that she sold her business and moved down here so she could be under our teaching. It changed her life forever. Isn't that something? Changed her life. What, honey? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the last verse in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 18. So we see that if you visit that wrong house, you can be in the grave. So you don't get away with nothing, do you?
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.